Blog Talk Radio.
Our destiny is greatness, people. Why?
Because God did it.
Come on with it.
Talk to him.
Hey, Nick and E in the morning.
You know why they yawning,
yawning.
Talk to him.
Come on, E.
Get them out the way.
Come on.
Hey, God, where about that?
We loosen the roof, baby.
Lethoric.
It's happening. Colossal! Our destiny is
greatness.
Talk to him. Oh yeah. Woo! That's right, baby. We are back. It is Worship Wednesday. E and I are ready to go today, baby. B, what's going on with you, E? What's up, brother?
Man, what's happening? I'm all good. It's Worship Wednesday. This is the inaugural Worship Wednesday for this season, and we are actually just about literally halfway through the season. This is
weird.
Yeah. It's overdue. It's weird.
Yeah, listen, time is flying way too quickly, but you know what the word says. Time is built onto a transition, you know. So we out here swiftly transitioning from where we were to where we should be, and in between, we enjoying this greatness. And y'all should too. Listen, we're extremely excited about Worship Wednesday. Go ahead, E.
And like you announced yesterday, this is a new tradition, or a new pattern, if you will, a new practice that we'll do Worship Wednesday once a month on the last Wednesday of the month. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Listen, I'm extremely excited to announce that I have finally been able to withdraw the funds from the GoFundMe account to donate to Flint, Michigan. Finally. Now, I'll tell you that this was not my fault or Eric's fault. This was GoFundMe. They had and it makes sense, but the timing is terrible, obviously. They had specific security walls set up for all of the people who were trying to raise money for Flint, Michigan. But the problem was that they didn't tell anybody about these security walls. And the reason why they did it was because they didn't want people raising money and then going to spend it themselves. But they sent out, you know, emails about we needing to answer 1,000 questions about what we were going to do with the money, who were we giving it to, the link to where we were donating online, or a letter to where we were donating in person. And I didn't get any of them. So I was trying to figure out. I emailed, called. Finally, I saw it was in my spam that they needed us to send all kinds of information. Like, I felt like they were trying to steal my identity. Long story short, the money is finally it's finally in my account. So Monday morning, with the email, you will receive the link. I mean, the confirmation snapshot that I promised you last season. I had not forgot about it, but there were hurdles that we needed to get through from a security perspective at GoFundMe. In fact, I will send you the security issues as well, so that you know that I didn't spend the money, and now I got more money to put back in there. I will screenshot the emails as well, so you guys can get a glimpse of what was going on. But I just wanted to give you guys that update. I'm excited to announce that so that you guys can you know, feel good about what we were able to do with the GoFundMe account and for the kids of Flint, Michigan.
Nice.
So listen,
nice.
I'm excited about that. Oh yeah. Let us bore you anymore. Here's what we're going to do. Worship Wednesday, just so you understand the structure. It is similar to Motivational Monday, where we take a text, a scripture, not a quote. Sometimes it's a quote, but more so it's a text that is, you know, kind of intertwined with quotes and words of or writings of someone else. And we take it, we dissect it, we preach it, okay? And we let you know that you need Jesus. And then we get on out the way, okay? We say a prayer and we get on out the way. And that's what we plan to do today. We plan to give you a word from the Lord. We prayed
before the show, like every other day, only this day that the Holy Spirit would speak and God answers prayer. So hear from the Holy Spirit this morning and then go ahead and pack your day and try to tell somebody about the word that you heard. So let us bore you anymore. This morning scripture comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, okay? Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. And the title of the show, E, what's the title of the show?
He's preparing you for greater.
That's it. He's preparing you for greater. Now, when I get in and I start dissecting this text, you know, I'll tie it all together because this text doesn't necessarily tell you that, but there's importance in this text about the title, so that's why the title is that way. But let's not bore you anymore. E, Worship Wednesday, let's get to it, good brother. Give them the word.
Cool. I'm going to do what I can, okay? Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Now, I read these verses in the King James Version and the New King James Version and the New Living Translation, the Common English Bible, and I would recommend you do the same, because even though it can be relatively simple and easy to understand and comprehend, especially for Bible readers, there are things that you do miss, and there are perspectives and points that you can see just in these few verses by changing the versions you read them in. So I want to say that, and I'm just going to highlight three quick nuggets that I found within these verses before I let Nick go. And the first of which, Paul's acknowledgement of his position. When these verses begin, the very first thing you hear from Paul is basically, I ain't got nothing yet. You understand? I'm nowhere. Listen, people are following me, but I'd want y'all to know that I have everything to gain. We have everything to gain. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. We all must take various moments and realize that we still have to work harder than we've ever worked. There's a book that some of my classmates read in Honors College at Hampton University. I was going to read it, but I decided to read a different one. And I want to go back and read that book one day simply because of the title of the book. The title of the book is so good to me. The title just says, what got you here won't get you there. That simple. What got you here won't get you there. All right, you have to continue to feel not only that there's a chip on your shoulder, but that you have everything to gain if you're going to get what little is there to get on the next level, on the next step. I know, I mean, Nick knows this about me. I absolutely hate for people to point out what I already have. I hate it. It disgusts me. It seems like every year or every day that passes, I feel like I have less, and I feel like there's more for me to gain. And I know that this past summer I did the contest, and I don't even dignify the contest by calling it by its name anymore. But I did a contest, and after the contest, people want to say, "Oh well, what did you win?" And I say, "Oh well, I mean, I have to answer their question." So I say, "Well, I won $300." And they say, "Oh, well, that's not bad." And I say, "Oh, that's terrible. It's not $1,200. I don't look at winning $300. I look at the fact that I could have been $900 richer." You know what I mean?
Right. Now, right.
This is not about what you have. Don't get blinded by what you have. Don't let the devil see. The devil can send you success, but what would you rather have? Would you rather have God's failure or the devil's success?
Mm.
Make sure that by all means you're always ready to risk everything to gain everything, because you ain't gotten nowhere yet. Now, the second thing I noticed in these verses is – pause. Give me 1 second. I'm switching phones because I hear static.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that text there. That start, man.
Yeah.
Would you rather have God's failure or the devil's success?
Yeah. Now, the second thing that jumped out at me, bro. I'm looking through these verses. I'm reading them over and over again, and I see verse 13. When Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. Now,
mm-hmm.
I love you guys know I love NBA players, and Chris Bosh, I call him Chris Bosh. He's not one of my favorite players, but I love his mental outlook on the game. And I always tell the story about one day, first of all, to be an NBA player, you have to have amnesia. You have to have a short memory. Ray Allen says it all the time. You also hear Mark Jackson say it. You have to have amnesia, which means if you're a shooter and you miss 20 shots, you have to take the 21st shot the way you took the first shot, with the same level of confidence, because you think, you know, that next shot that you shoot is going to go in. And I know Chris Bosh was in a slump the year that the Heat won the championship. He went into the playoffs in a huge slump. And the game when Chris Bosh supposedly came back to life, the game when he finally had an all-star caliber game, reporters are coming up to Chris Bosh after the game, and they're like, "Yeah, what clicked for you? What happened? You know, what made you play so well out there tonight?" And Chris Bosh simply said, "Well, for me, it's all mental." And he said, "If you don't feel like you're struggling, then you're not." And that's all he said. And all I want anyone to take from these verses is that if you don't feel like you're struggling, you're not. And the reason I say that, right now, is because what happened in your yesterday, what happened in your yesteryear, have no bearing on what happens right now. And they have no bearing on what happens tomorrow. Because the only reason that they have jurisdiction over your performance is because you allow them to, because you remember them, because you say, "Oh, well, I didn't play well then. Well, I'm not going to play well now." But if you forget, if you simply forget those things which are behind, then you will perform better than you've ever performed. And the third thing that I noticed, Bo, is that Paul decided he was going to keep pressing no matter what. Now, on one of my favorite artists' first mixtapes, "The Blow Up" by J. Cole, he's got a song called "The Plan," and J. Cole says, "I rest not, which is why your best shot is way off." okay? Because J. Cole keeps pressing, the best you can throw at him is way off. Now, the reason that you're going to walk into your destiny is because your best performance has never been performed. What everyone thinks is your worst performance is really one of your best performances. What do you mean by that? Okay. You've been calling it my best performance. You've been calling it the best you've ever seen me. But what you don't understand is that I'm still pressing. I'm as far as I was today. I'm as far as I was when I was on that stage. I'm as far as I was when I was in that audition room as I have ever been, because I rest not, because I press repeatedly, because I'm always moving, because I'm always giving my best, which is why your best shot is way off. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, yeah. Listen, title of today's show is He's Preparing You for Greater. This, and you say, well, look here, Nick, you're going to preach this, but I struggle to see that in this text. I got to start you off by helping you understand, especially my students, that where you are now is the foundation, is the soil, is what the stairs of the rest of your life is anchored in. And it's I want to say that again. The foundation of where you are now, where you are now, is building that foundation, that soil, that cement, that anchor for the stairwell that you'll walk the rest of your life. And so where you are now, you can't let this foundation be built wrong. You can't lose focus where you are now and allow the rest of your life to be rocky. Okay? All of you students right now, you're building the foundation. I get it. I understand that calculus class that you're using, that you may never use that formula in real life. I get it. I understand that science class that you're in, that you may never, ever need to know the relationship between the anemone and the clownfish. I understand that all of that knowledge that you're gaining, you may never have to apply it in real life. But it's building the foundation. It's putting nutrients in the soil, and it is stirring up and drying up the cement in which the stairwell to the rest of your life is built in. Where you are now has a purpose. I mean, we can look in the Bible. I know I'm in the text because you can look in the Bible all throughout. We can look at Moses, and what we'll find is that Moses, when he was cast out of Egypt, he had to go into the wilderness. Not only did he have to go into the wilderness, but he had to go into the wilderness and shepherd, be the shepherd of sheep. He had to go and get water. He had to provide for his wife, for his son. He was in the wilderness, but he was being prepared for his purpose. Because, you see, Moses went on to not lead sheep, but to lead people. He went on not to lead people through water or not to lead people, in great weather conditions, but he went on to lead people through the desert. Had he not been cast out and put into the desert, had he not been in the wilderness before, he would have not have known how to survive in desert-like temperatures. So you, where you are now is preparing you for where you're going. Yo, bro, it was like a lot of noise over there. I don't know if it was your phone.
We got you.
So where you are now is preparing you for where you're going. Moses teaches us that. Not only does Moses teach us that, but Jesus teaches us that. Right after Jesus was baptized, he went into the wilderness, okay? And in the wilderness, the devil tried to tempt Jesus. And what Jesus was taught through that temptation by the devil was that he needed to take God with him everywhere he went. So that's what brings us to the text. because we understand that where we are is preparing us for where we're going. But you say, Nick, how does that matter here in this text? And I love what he did. I love how he spoke to the usage of many different scriptures or Bible types, because Bible versions, because there's so many out there, and what happens is they give you further clarity on the text. And so when you look at this text and you understand that what is happening here in the text is that basically Paul is saying, listen, I'm not here acting like I got it all figured out. I'm not here acting like I'm perfect. He said, and he tells the people, he tells his friends, he said, listen, I'm not going to act like I got this all figured out. But then he says, I have Jesus with me. I got God with me. I'm not perfect, but I'm perfect in God. And so what he's saying is that no matter where you're at, no matter where you're going, you got to have God with you. Let me help you. There is. I'm a big science guy, and it seems like it only comes up when I'm preaching. I actually found this out through exegesis that, you know what, I actually like science. Like, I didn't like it before, I love it now, because it makes the word easier to understand. Here's what happened. When I started reading the text and I started understanding the direction in which Paul was speaking and him dissecting the necessity of having Christ with you, even in your imperfections, that Christ makes you perfect, gives you the opportunity to chase your goals, to pursue your goals, but he makes it easier for you. I was brought to the relationship between the remora fish and the host animal. Now, I say the host animal because the animal can vary from a whale to a shark to any big fish in the ocean. But this relationship is very unique in the sense of, first and foremost, when the remora fish is first born, it has to go through a maturing stage before it can really dive into this relationship. What do you mean? When the remora fish is born, what happens is its nose, or as what is called its front dorsal fin, it becomes modified into some, I think they call it large suckers, okay? And what they are basically, it helps you get grasp onto something. You know how, like, you have those things where you stick onto the wall, if you push it up against it real hard, it sticks. So this remora fish has to develop those suckers on its fin so that it can attach on to the shark or to the whale. But when it's first born, it doesn't have them. It has to go through a maturing stage. Somebody say that the maturing stage is the desert. The maturing stage is the desert. So you've gone through, or you're in now, your maturing stage so that you can latch on to the host animal. But what's the host animal? Why is the host animal important? Here it is. The remora fish, by attaching on to the shark and to the host animal, the remora fish is the first thing. The remora fish doesn't have to exert much energy to swim because it catches the wave and it catches the velocity, and by it catches the easiness of swimming with the shark. Because the shark is so big, because the shark is so strong, and because the remora fish is attached, that its life is easier. Its swim is easier. Where it's going from destination to destination is easier because it's attached on to something bigger. And I can just put a plug right there and say, we know that there's nothing bigger than God. We know that there's nothing greater than God in any ocean, in any world, in any land. There's nothing greater than God. So, but I understand we got to go through our maturing age, our maturing stage. We've done that. We're old enough to know where our help comes from. We're old enough to know that we need to get attached. So now that we are attached, all we got to do is enjoy the benefits of being attached. And one of the benefits is that where we're going is easier because we've got God. But it's not just where we're going. I know we're talking about where we are is preparing us for greater, and I know our destiny is greatness. I know that already, but it's not just where we're going. It's about living. Because, listen, people, there's no timeline on where you are now. I know life says that you're supposed to graduate in 4 years or five, depending on your program, depending on your degree. I know life says that. I know knowledge, normal knowledge said that, but you don't know what can happen. God forbid you get caught up in a hospital situation and you can't go to class for a year. We don't know what that timetable looks like, so we got to be able to live better by being attached. Let me help you. This same remora fish, because it is attached to the shark, and the shark is so strong and it swims so swiftly, the remora fish is able to breathe better. Let me help you. Let me rephrase that. Because the remora fish is attached to the shark, the ventilation that happens through the gills of the fish is better because the fish doesn't have to exert the energy of cleaning itself. The fish doesn't have to exert the energy of swimming expeditiously so that the water gets into the gills and ventilates the body of the fish, in other words, so that it can breathe. Because the word ventilation runs synonymous with animals and mammals who have a lung. So therefore, by him being attached to the shark, to the whale, to the host animal, it makes his living circumstances better. You missed it. The reason why you should be shouting is because you've been attached to God for so long. But what you haven't been realizing is that it's not because of you that you're living better. It's not because of you that you're getting better. It's not because of you that life is easier. It's actually because you've attached yourself to God, and because of you attaching to him, you got the new job. Because of you attached to him, you've been able to perform exceptionally well. Because you're attached to him, your life is better. Oh, come on. Because you are able to attach to the host, because you are able to attach to something greater, now all of a sudden your life is easier. But then it's this last part here in this text. It's this last part here in this analogy that I think is most poignant. And it talks about the biggest it talks about the biggest key, the biggest benefit to this relationship by the remora fish. This is what it's all about. This is really why the remora fish, this is really why they get attached to this animal. And here's why. Because if you think about it, they can swim on their own, right? I don't want you to get confused with the idea of them not being able to swim without this shark. That's not the case at all. They have to go and find the shark first before they get attached to him. That they can live on their own. They can go out, get lost, get into trouble. They can do all those things on their own. My point is, by them attaching to the shark, it makes it easier. We can also look at the fact that they can live on their own. They can breathe on their own. They don't need the shark to get the ventilation into their gills. They don't need the shark to actually live. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that that life is easier when they are attached to the shark. But the last piece here is that this remora fish, when it gets attached to the shark, it gets protection. You see, because this remora fish is such a small animal in the ocean, it's preyed upon by all kinds of animals. It's preyed upon because it's small. But watch this. When it's attached to the shark, because the shark is so strong and because the shark has such a great reputation, the enemy doesn't even bother the fish because they know that if they come to get the fish, then they've got to deal with the shark. They don't bother the fish because they know that if they come to get the fish, then they actually might get in trouble with the shark. And what I'm trying to get you to understand, and what the text is telling us through Paul, is that I know I don't have it all figured out, and I know I'm not perfect, but I do know that as long as I attach myself to Jesus, that I can
come on.
Of the high calling, that I don't got to worry about my enemies, and I don't have to worry about my life. I don't have to worry about my health. And look,
I don't even got to worry about my destination, because as long as I got King Jesus, as long as I'm attached to Jesus, and as long as I got my skills ventilated by his works, as long as I got my mind straight by his grace, as long as I got my life protected by his mercy, then I'm going to get to my destination. And not only am I going to get to my destination, but I'm going to be better because I went through what I went through, and I was protected how I was protected. So when I get to my destination, I know where my health, I know why my life is better. I know why I am where I am. So when I get there, I'm going to praise him like I've never praised him before, because I know if it had not been for his grace and his mercy, for his protection, for his love and his guidance, I would have been lost.
Oh, yeah.
That's E, I think it's 7. Yeah. We got to go. We got to go. But you got to get
do
a
we text. Really?
we got to get it by.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. We got to go. Listen, Minister Christian has told you everything you need to hear, especially about this text and especially about your walk, all right? This is it, people. This is it. You've got to attach yourself, and you've got to stay there, okay? Attach yourself and stay there. Don't go no place. You're a kingdom kid. You're a king's child. So be that way. Be proud of it. Attach yourself to that. Attach yourself to Jesus, and everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. Oh, man, that was good. That was good. Worship Wednesday, our first Worship Wednesday of
yes,
of
sir.
The
Worship Wednesday is here, good brother.
Of the period.
Now listen, listen.
That's what it is.
We need to give them this prayer. We promised them a prayer. I know a lot of listeners are gone.
Come on.
To our archive listeners. And we're going to go ahead and get rid of these strongholds, and we're going to get rid of these chains, and we're going to go ahead on and attach ourselves to this king. So I'm going to lift this up, E. Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, we come before you this morning, first and foremost saying thank you. Thank you for using Eric and I as we do our best to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us. But also thank you for being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you for being all-powerful and all-knowing. Thank you for being a protector. Thank you for making our lives easier. Thank you for taking us from here to there. Thank you for taking us from destination to destination, from stair to stair, from storm to storm, and just continuing to protect us and make us better. Lord, we come for you to come before you this morning expecting greatness. We come before you this morning expecting everything that's holding us back to hold us no longer, everything that's weighing us down to not get the victory, for we know that our strength comes through you, and we can do all things through you that strengthen us. So, Lord God, we ask that you give us the strength to carry the burdens, not that we remove them, Lord God, before we know that they are here so that we get stronger, so that we get wiser, so that we get better, Lord God. So we're asking for your grace, for you said in your word that your grace is sufficient to carry us to where we need to go, Lord God. So we ask for your grace. But, Lord God, we also ask for your mercy, because we know there are things that our hearts desire. There are things that our mind desires. More importantly, there are things in your will that we will receive that we are not worthy of. So, Lord God, we thank you for your mercy, and we ask that you continue to grant it with us and grant it for us and grant it on our lives. But, Lord God, as we leave this place, as we leave Nick and Eric in the morning, as we go into our separate ways, as we live our lives, we ask for protection. For we know the enemy is out there trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But, Lord God, we know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, Lord God. So we ask that you give us that protection, that you help us to put on our whole armor of God so that we can walk in our destiny, we can walk in our miracle, we can walk in the will of God and the favor of God. Lord God, we thank you for your favor. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your protection. But most importantly, Lord God, we thank you for your love, for you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, that everybody that would believe in him would not perish. They would have everlasting life, Lord God. So we thank you for your love and your everlasting life, the sacrifice of your Son. And, Lord God, we ask that as we leave this prayer, as we adjourn, as we go our separate ways, that you just keep us in mind, that you continue to do what you've been doing like you've never done it before. And we say all these things. We ask all these prayers in your mighty
nationalist, magnanimous, miracle-working name of your son, Jesus. We say amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, brother. Oh, yeah. Worship Wednesday.
Brother,
I was excited about this one. I'm glad we were able to get this joint in, good brother.
Yes, sir. Last week of our Back to School series is next week.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, and we got Dr. Patino Bass. And, you know, he's joining us once more, and you better go back and listen to the last show, because the last show was high quality. He got tough shoes to fill, okay? You understand me? But he will fill them. You understand? He will fill them.
Yes, sir.
Because, as my boy would say, he went to the greatest HBCU, the illustrious. Howard,
that's
I'm
right.
kidding. The illustrious Hampton University.
Oh my gosh.
That's not funny. You said that's not funny. hey, listen,
we're
all I'm saying is all the Howard people can just take that snippet out of where I said Howard and you said that's right. Oh, you don't let them get that. Don't let them get
Please.
That. You didn't know. Yeah, but listen, he
the
was
real
he HU. Hampton, the Hampton University. And he's joining us next Wednesday, and we're excited. We're talking about some great things, man. We're talking about funding. So right before you listen to the show, go back and listen to Topic Tuesday. We had a great conversation yesterday around some of the things that we're going to cover with Dr. Bat. So listen, we enjoyed you this week, D. I ain't gonna talk no more. You go ahead.
Oh, no. That's it. The show's over. Listen, we thank you all for listening. We've had a fantastic week. We're overtime anyway. We appreciate y'all so much, especially you, Mr. Brad. Appreciate you. And we appreciate everybody who's tuned in this week. Thank you guys so much. Thank you. Like we said, Back to School Series concludes next week, and we are running right into the second half of this period of this half of the season. Oh yeah, I'm excited, bro. Come on, let's rock.
Oh yeah, let's get up out of here. Listen, we gave you so much today, so much to take with you.
There you go.
But we also want you to take with you this. We want you to know that your destiny is greatness. It's unchangeable. You can't do anything about it. Your destiny is greatness. And here's the thing. It's not because of you. It's not because of me. It's not because of E. Our destiny is greatness. Why E? Come on, brother.
Because God did it.
That's right, baby. Our destiny is greatness because God did it. I holla.